to the Six Shot Culture Podcast. I'm joined by Danny and Frances back. Welcome back.
Great to be back, boys. Great to be back.
Danny's obviously, I don't think he's upset. I think a draw at Camp Nou is a good result.
I'm not too upset. Obviously, I would like to win. And just the way I'm just still a little on the fence with the penalty, but I'll get into that later on. But I'm mixed emotions. Like, obviously, I wanted to win at the Camp Nou just to help. It would be a big help, big momentum heading into Monday's game against Cali and also next week's game against Barcelona as well. But I'll take a tie because at the end of the day, we did not deserve to win. So,
yeah, we had, like Danny mentioned, we had some big games in Europe this week. We didn't recap last weekend. Serie A games have been so busy, but we wanted to make sure we got a pot out for you guys this week. So we're not going to keep you here too long. We know Juve play Torino in the Derby del Mole later on today, so we want to give you guys enough time to listen to this podcast before that match, and that'll be tough, but at least before this weekend's matches. So, yeah, we'll start off Inter-Liverpool, big matchup in Europe. We knew it'll be a tough one heading into it because, you know, Liverpool's such a good team, and they have been for years now. I'd say they're a dynasty at this point. They have a lot of similar core from the Champions League winning team, still on the team, and they're doing well. So heading into the game, before I start breaking it down a little bit, what did you guys think about it before the match started?
If you want to go first.
Before the game, we have our friend Matthew, who's a Liverpool fan, and I was talking to him about the game, and I was telling him I think Liverpool's gonna win. I would prefer if Inter win. I just like to see Serie A teams do well in Europe. I know it's a hot take with a lot of Serie A fans, but the English are my most hated. So any team going against the English, I cheer for. I thought Inter had a chance. I thought the game was going to be close, but ultimately Liverpool was going to squeak by, and that's exactly what happened, in my opinion. For the first 75 minutes, I think it was a very close game. Inter had a lot of good chances that they could have capitalized on that they just couldn't get the final touch in or the final shot in, which was a shame. And then once Firmino scored that header, which was poor defensive by Inter, it kind of opened up the floodgates, and Inter were in a little bit of a fluster. And then Salah scored the second goal to put the cherry on top at the San Siro. So it was a real shame to see how Inter tried their absolute hardest for the first 75 minutes, and then it just all went to shit. Hopefully they put an upset at Anfield, but as of right now, it's looking like a round of 16 exit for Inter.
Yeah, no, I thought Inter were the better side for the majority of the match. They played really well against Liverpool, who are very tough to play. Give Inter credit, they hung in there as long as they could, but Liverpool's just outclassed Inter. For me, I thought once they brought in Luis Diaz and Henderson, those two changed the complexion of the game. Liverpool found the ways to score. Poor marking by Bastoni on Firmino. Should never let that play happen, especially because it's a near post, so you should be always on your toes covering that near post, and especially if it's a flick on like that. And also the second goal was an unlucky deflection off of, I believe it was De Vrij, being Handanovic, who was a statue on that play. It seems like every time he doesn't play Napoli, he's a statue, but that's a different topic for a different day. Liverpool, it's going to be tough now to go into Anfield, get the three goals that they need without conceding to Liverpool. So it's going to be very tough for Inter to do it, but we'll see when the time comes if they can pull an upset.
Yeah, so I took some notes during the game. I don't want to forget anything, and this is what I have here. So Robertson curled in a nice cross. The back post, Romani, who almost headed it in. I feel like the crosses from the fullbacks caused a lot of issues for Inter and most Serie A teams this week, which I'm going to get into later on. I have a couple notes on that I want to touch on. I thought Perisic played really well. Caused some issues for Liverpool.
He beat Fabinho.
I think he was. But between him and Skriniar, I thought they were really their two best players. Perisic beat Fabinho and whipped in a great ball to Hakan, and I think that was the best chance of the game where he hit the crossbar. Very close. It really seemed to cut. It seemed to not. What's the word I want to use? take Konate by surprise, really. I don't think he expected the ball to go near post, and when it did, Hakan couldn't capitalize. I wouldn't say it's an easy angle to score from. It was difficult, but he probably could have done better, but it was a good hit. And, yeah, nearly won nothing for Inter there early on. Dumfries had a decent chance there at the front post off a corner, but couldn't get it on target. Yeah. Liverpool, when they finally made him 1-0, I'm like, okay, it was, I had a feeling it was coming. It was a great ball in from Robertson, and then Firmino flicked it off, and nice header. Really nothing Handanovic could really do there. It was a great play, and Robertson, in my opinion, maybe the best on the pitch today, if not one of the best. He had an incredible game, and like I said, those crosses from deep were really causing Inter issues this game. They focused so much on Liverpool's attack that they kind of let the fullbacks, you know, do what they want and have so much time on the ball where they can really pick in some dangerous balls in, and that's what happened for most of the game. I thought Dumfries was, I don't want to say abysmal, but I thought he had a pretty poor match. The second goal, I believe it was a Trent. I believe he played in a ball, he whipped it in, and then Dumfries couldn't get the header. Van Dijk got to it instead, and then Salah kind of cleaned it up and made it 2-0. And that was all she wrote at that point. And like I said, I really thought Skriniar played a good match. I thought Perisic did well as well. And he has been this year, Perisic. I kind of wrote him off when he went to Bayern. I thought maybe, you know, be the end of his career there, just go there off the bench and come in every once in a while. But no, he came back to Inter, and he's been an important piece for them, and that really surprised me. But yeah, just those balls being whipped in from deep, I think, really caused them issues, and they couldn't really find a way to deal with them. And ultimately, big win for Liverpool away from home. I thought they had played a good match. I thought Inter played well as well, but they just couldn't capitalize, like Frenchet and Dan, you said as well. They just couldn't capitalize on their opportunities. And, yeah, well play, fair play to Liverpool. Also, we had Porto Lazio. Who got a chance to watch that one?
Yeah, no, I'll start off. It was a good start for Lazio. I was going on and off between the two games between Atalanta and Lazio Porto, but I saw Lazio made it early on. I believe it was Zaccagni that scored. Early on. So right there I thought, okay, maybe Lazio are in this game, so they're gonna play hard. But throughout the whole game it was just Porto. After the Lazio scored, it was just Porto getting into the match, and they ended up finding two goals from Tony Martinez. Both goals were kind of similar crosses into the box where Lazio failed to defend and cover, and Martinez made them pay. It was a beautiful ball by, I believe it was, the first goal was from João Mário, the left back, I believe, or the right back. It was a good ball in, and Martinez made no mistake. And it goes back to the point, ends you were making, that the Italian teams this week, are a few times, they allow these fullbacks to take the time, pick up the cross, and pick up the player. And it's just, we need to, like, the Italian teams need to remember that a lot of these teams nowadays, fullbacks aren't what they used to be. More fullbacks nowadays are attacking base, and they like to join the attack, and a lot of them have good crossing abilities, and that's, I think, that's one key feature you need now as a fullback. You need to know how to cross, and you need to know how to put in a pass. And I feel like Lazio allow the fullbacks to take as much time as they need to pick out that cross, and they couldn't deal with the pressure of the balls going into the box. So, fair play to Porto for picking out the weaknesses of Lazio. And once again, Sarri, he doesn't adjust defensively. You've seen it a lot with the teams he's coached in the past, where he can go forward. They look very good going forward, but defensively they're weak. And that's been Sarri's heels. As a coach, he likes to attack, but he's got to remember now, you can't win games if you can't defend. And it seems like Lazio, this game, were lackluster in the defense.
Yeah, very well said, Dan. I didn't get a chance to watch the full game. I was kind of on and off during this game. I was too busy watching the Canada versus England women's match that was happening at the same time. But what I could see is it was a shame, because from the start you could see this is going to be a tough game for Lazio. Obviously, Porto's not an easy opponent, especially the first leg being in Portugal. So obviously, going into it, you're not expecting a team like Lazio to pull off a convincing win. I always knew the game was going to be close. I kind of favored Lazio over Porto, just a bit. Maybe a draw would have been the ideal result I would have predicted before the game, but Lazio opened up early on, and it was looking good for Lazio. And then I think a lot of Serie A teams do this in Europe. The minute they score against an opposition that's around their skill level or a bit better, they kind of just park the bus after scoring that first goal and just letting the other team just attack and just absorb their attack. And I feel like that's what Lazio did for majority of the match until Porto capitalized, scored the equalizer. And then after that, it was just a big clusterfuck for Lazio. They couldn't really get the chances they wanted. And then, like Danny said, Martinez just capitalized on both of his chances and gave Porto that advantage leading into Rome. So hopefully they could turn it around. And I think they can. It's just going to be how good defensively Lazio can hold off to not concede in Rome and to score more goals than they do.
Yeah, no, well said. Lazio, like Dan said, they opened the scoring there with Zaccagni. It was a really nice 1-2 from Pedro back to Alberto, who then played in Zaccagni near post. You can really see that they've worked on that in training. Obviously, it's not something you do in the spur of the moment. Well done by Sadi to set it up and the team to execute it. So good lead there for Lazio. And then Porto, a few minutes later, almost equalized after Fabio Vieira played in a great ball to Pepe. I think it was right in between Maurušić and Felipe. I could be wrong. I believe it was in between them. And then Pepe on Porto chipped Strakosha, but Felipe cleared it off the line. Great defensive play there, but yeah, you can't allow that ball to go right in between two of your defenders like that. It's way too easy. But yeah, luckily they didn't capitalize there at Porto. And Porto eventually tied it up, like you guys have been saying. Tony Martinez, I really don't know who this guy is, but he seemed like the best striker of all time. Like this guy, that header was incredible. Like, oh my God, what a header. And I think Dan has told me before how the fans in Porto don't really like him because he didn't live up to his potential, but yeah, this guy looks good. But only one game, obviously. I don't watch Porto every week. I don't know if that's a shocker to anyone, but yeah, I'm not a big Porto supporter. I don't really see them game in and game out, but yeah, great finish from Martinez. João Mário caused a lot of issues for Lazio, and similar to Inter, I think fullbacks really killed them throughout the whole match, and both assists were actually from João Mário, a fullback, so I'll get into that in a second. And yeah, second goal, same thing. João Mário to Tony Martinez, and it resulted in 2-1, and from there on, it was kind of dead the match at that point. And the fullbacks, I was talking to Dan, I said it before earlier in the podcast, Dan mentioned it in the pod as well. I feel like Italian teams, they sit back once, you know, it's a close game or they feel threatened that they're about to concede, they sit back. And back in the day, you know, there's maybe a handful of fullbacks that you can say, oh wow, this guy's quality going forward. He has attacking qualities like Roberto Carlos, Maicon, guys like that. But nowadays, almost every fullback has attacking qualities where they can really threaten you, like Robertson, Arnold Alexander on Liverpool. There's so many in Europe now, Alphonso Davies, that can really hurt you if you leave them open and give them enough time. And I feel like Italian teams are just sitting back and focusing on other teams attacking players, but then they leave their fullbacks so much space to really whip it up across and pick someone out. And they're good at that now. Like every fullback now needs to have attacking qualities or else most good managers really won't really watch on the team. Because back then, fullbacks are more just these athletic guys who can get up and down the pitch pretty quick and just move the ball to their attackers and then kind of, you know, stay away from the play. But nowadays, there's constantly overlapping there. Even taking free kicks now, a lot of these fullbacks, they have so much quality and they can almost pass as an attacker. Like, for example, Cancelo at Juve, we saw how good he was at Inter going forward. Now he's doing well at City. Almost every team has attacking fullbacks nowadays, and you can't give them this much room. And I feel like Italian teams are getting hurt badly from that because they're just assuming they can't hurt them, even though they can. And I know Liverpool, they had players that can really hurt you, like Salah and Mane, and these guys have to pay extra attention to. But Lazio, like Porto, they're a good team, don't get me wrong, but you don't really need to really lock in on, like, Pepe, I think his name was. Like, I'm sure he's a good player, but you don't need to pay so much attention to him that you leave the fullbacks wide open and give them so much time, and it hurt them. This João Mário guy, not the real João Mário that we know from Inter, it's a different one for those of you wondering. but yeah, João Mário with two assists, you know, it can happen, but the amount of time you had to play the ball in, especially on the second goal, that can't happen. So, yeah, I think Italian teams have to pay more attention, play higher lines, press them a bit more. They can't just sit back and give these fullbacks so much time to make a play because it's really hurting them, and I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon. So, yeah, hopefully they can adjust that. And going to the second leg, I think that's something Lazio and Inter both really need to pay attention to. Barcelona-Napoli. Dan, I know it was a tough watch for you. I guess before we get into a meeting for check and share a couple of thoughts.
Yeah.
I thought, I think I pronounced it Javi or Gabi. He was incredible for Barcelona.
I think it's Gabi, yeah.
Gabi, yeah. He was incredible for them. I saw he was born in 2004, which is mind-blowing. I did not know that. He played a fantastic game. Ousmane Dembele, that guy, like, I think the last 10 minutes, he created like five chances that were pretty clear-cut scoring opportunities. I know Medet pushed one away that could have been a goal. Fernand Torres could have had like five goals that game, it felt like. He blew a lot of opportunities there. And I really believe that Napoli, where they went wrong tactically, I thought they did well. But towards the end of the game, they kind of sat back and handed the reins to Barcelona too much. I think when Mario Roy came in, it really hurt them. Ousmane Dembele was just dancing around him, and he'll do it to most players. You know, he's a good player, Dembele, don't get me wrong. But I think it was a tactical error from Spalletti there. Just give Barcelona so much time on the ball. I think going to the second leg, what I would change if I was Napoli is I wouldn't put someone like Anguissa in. He's a good player, don't get me wrong. But I think stylistically, the way Barca play, they don't have physical players. Like Pedri, he's a good player, but he's not a big guy. You don't really need to, you know, have Anguissa to get the ball off him. Or Gavi, like these guys aren't huge. I know Busquets is big, but he's pretty slow as well. If I'm Napoli, I'm getting more technical players that play quicker in the midfield to keep up with Barca's mid, because I feel like that's what hurt them. And if Napoli can control the mid a little bit better, I don't see why they can't beat Barcelona. They seem vulnerable on defense, Barca, and going forward, they're a good team. But at the same time, I feel like most of it comes from the midfield. And if Napoli can find a way to neutralize their midfield, I think they can really do well in the next match. And I think Osimhen and Mertens need to play together. I think that's something I realized too. I feel like that would be a great pairing for Napoli in the second leg. But yeah, Richard, what did you think about it before Dan Hobson?
Yeah, I thought the game lived up to his expectations. It was a great game to watch, obviously. It was a shame that Napoli kind of hit in their shell. You could see from the first minute on, they were just getting peppered by Barcelona. The chances they were making, the way Barca was moving the ball was just incredible to watch. Like Enzo said, their midfield just dominated the game. And then you had the three stooges, I like to call, Aubameyang, Damatore, and Ferran Torres. Aubameyang was non-existent in this game. I didn't really see him much. Adama, he just ran past the players, and I thought he had a couple of good dribble by Napoli's defense. And then you had Ferran Torres, who really should have been his game to have. The amount of chances he had that he should have scored, I've lost count. And Napoli really got lucky in that regard. In terms of Ferran, and then the defense was just a little shaky. When I think it was Elmas who put in the ball for Napoli, and then Zielinski's shot and Ter Stegen made a save, which I was shocked by personally. But then when he got that rebound and scored, I was jumping up and down like I was a Napoli fan myself. Just to see Napoli score that beautiful goal against Barcelona. It was a goal that they needed, and I was hoping that goal was going to shift their mindset and shift the gameplay to play more offensively and get that second goal. But I was wrong. They actually played more defensively after that. And Barcelona just kept eating Napoli up. They just couldn't finish their chances, and I feel like if Barca were able to finish their chances yesterday, they would have won like 6-1, 7-1. It was one of those games where they had way too many chances. They had way too much time on the ball, and Napoli really needed to capitalize on that. But overall, Napoli held in, which is good. A tie at the Camp Nou. It's a good result for a team like Napoli. Spalletti kind of disappointed me. I see him in the Giorgio Armani tracksuit just sitting down, watching his team get battered by Barca, and he really didn't do anything to fix it until late on in the game. So it was a shame to see, but hopefully the mindset's different at the Maradona Stadium, and Napoli could progress out of this Europa League fixture.
Yeah, no. For me, I thought we played pretty well up to even the second half, early in the second half, we defended pretty well. Insigne and Jesus did a very good job on Traore, not allowing him to use his pace to get by and create chances. Koulibaly, once again, I can probably say this every podcast we talk about, this guy's a monster, man. He's unbelievable. And I will state this right now, 110%, this guy's a top three center back in the world. And yesterday he proved it. There was one play where Traore was in and all alone. I don't know if they was going to get called back from offside. Or if Aubameyang was offside. And Koulibaly came from nowhere just to make a crucial tackle. And was later then called off for offside. But for me, Napoli played pretty well. I was really happy with the way we played prior to the penalty shot that was given. Again, I'm not going to go into debate if that was a penalty or not. They called it, and you just have to live by it. Questionable call, maybe saw a little soft, in my personal opinion. But nothing too mad, nothing too big to get mad about. And from there, we just went to the defensive shell, which is one thing I never liked to see any team do, especially my own team now. Barcelona, they have good quality players all around. They may not be playing the best and playing up to the Barcelona standards, but they're still a good team. You still have to respect them. Their midfield is incredible, and they dominated the game. They dominated us. And I was saying it too, we can't allow that to happen, because if that happens, then Barcelona is going to win this game. They're going to find a way to win. And we allowed the midfield to dominate our whole team. Hopefully that changes for the second leg. Hopefully we can go out, start dominating the game, play like the way we've played in the league, and not be scared. Just go out, give it our all. We're home. We don't have the best home record as of late, but hopefully that changes and we can find the result and advance. I would like to see in the second leg, hopefully Mertens with Osimhen get some creativity, keep Elmas in the lineup, maybe drop Zielinski and put him with Fabian and that kind of that CDM holding role, like they can collect and play out from the back. I would like to see Jesus start, because once Rui came in, it was a disaster. Our team looked lost. He was getting blown by, like he was just a pylon. And I would like to see the same back line as the first leg, play Jesus, Koulibaly, Romani, and Di Lorenzo. Maybe you could play Meret again. He didn't seem too bad. He looked a little calmer to this game. He looked a lot better. Nothing you can do on the penalty. It was just a well-placed penalty shot. Yeah,
the wrong way, unfortunately, for him.
Yeah, it was just a well-placed penalty shot. There's not much he could have done. I would like to see Napoli play with a little more tempo, a little more creativity. It seems like in the final third, we were just lacking that creativity pass. And we just got to start playing the balls into Osimhen, because there's a lot of times where we'd give him a through ball and he would get there. And I feel like that's what Napoli needs to start doing. They got to start getting Osimhen in, start giving him these chances to create, because he created a lot of chances. He made Ter Stegen made a nice save on him that led to a corner. He won a few corners by just crossing in the balls, trying to pick out a teammate, making a run back post, causing problems all game, making sure that either Garcia or Pique had to take a look over their shoulder just to see him. There was an incident in the game where Insigne was crossing the ball in, and Osimhen made a back post run, and Garcia interfered with him, you can say. There's no call. Obviously, they didn't check, so whatever at this point. But just stuff like that, that's what Napoli needs to start doing. They got to start spreading out the Barcelona defense and making sure that we can control the game and not let their midfield control, because if their midfield, again, starts controlling, it's going to be a long second leg. We just need to improve, make some big improvements for the second leg, and just hope we can get out and we can go out, I should say, and just get the win and move on.
Yeah, no, the tie is far from over. It's I think it's a great result for Napoli, 1-1 going back to the Maradona. And I think the new away goal rule is actually pretty cool, because, you know, no game is out of reach now. Maybe, it would help Napoli in this situation, though, if the away goal rule was still in place. It would help Napoli a lot, actually. But at the same time, I like it because now teams won't really sit back when they go away from home if they have a lead or vice versa. Yeah. Every game's still in place. I really like the new rule. And like the final match, yeah, I think Twitter, I saw people like it as well. Even our chat, our soccer chat we have here, a lot of people like it. So, yeah, great addition from FIFA and UEFA. The final match, Atalanta Olympiacos. I guess I'll start off here. Atalanta, in my opinion, well, I don't think my opinion, I think it's a fact. They completely dominated. They played really well. And Atalanta in Europe scare me because although they play well most of the time, they always either choke or get unlucky or
they find a way to lose.
Something. They always find a way to lose. And when I saw that first Olympiacos goal, I had a heart attack. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be a classic Atalanta. You know, lose 1-0 with 100% possession and 45 shots on target, but still lose the game somehow.
Fair play.
Very nice goal. Suarez, incredible strike to
former
the far.
Former Porto player.
Yeah, former Porto player. Great hit into the bottom right corner. Nothing I can really criticize about Atalanta. There, just a nice goal. Sometimes you got to hand it to the other team when a goal like that is scored. And incredible goal. Both teams squandered some decent chances, you know, until the first half came to an end. The Kamada, I think the midfielder on Olympiacos. He had a great chance, just messed up the touch. And I feel like Gasperini saw exactly what I saw. I feel like Atalanta needed a more direct approach, and he brought in Boga to begin the second half. We all know Boga. He loves to take on guys. He's a very direct player. And almost immediately, he almost scored. He came in and drove the ball right into the heart of the defense for Olympiacos, caused a lot of issues, and the keeper made a great save. But what a goal that would have been with, I think, like four or five players around him. I think that's exactly what Atalanta needed. But he wasn't able to score, but great save. Then Malinovsky, this guy's free kicks or just shots in general, they're like a lightning bolt. They're so...
Yeah, they're dangerous.
Yeah, precise and powerful. Like, it's pretty special, to be honest. Like, just for shooting ability alone, I'd take him on Roma. Even if he couldn't pass or do anything else, he's a very talented player. And, wow, he almost scored another free kick. I mean, you saw what he did against Juve, that strike. Incredible hit. And, yeah, nice save from the keeper. And then Jim City, this guy, he makes me laugh for some reason. But I don't think he scored in maybe, a year or two, I heard the commentator say, something like that.
Yeah, a few years he hasn't scored.
A few years, yeah. It's been a while. And he got the equalizer off a header from a corner from Coupeniers. It was a nice header. And then right after, another corner, it's a little scramble in the box, and Jim City volleyed it in. Cleaned up the mess and got Atalanta up 2-1, which I think was very well deserved. They were the better team by far. And I'm just happy they got the win. And hopefully they can finish it off next week in Greece. It's a tie that I expect them to win. I think the players expect to win and their fans expect to win. So hopefully they finish off the job. I don't see no choke job. I don't see no classic Atalanta. I don't know what's going to happen with them. If you're a better, if you like to put money on these games, do not bet on Atalanta. Although I think they're going to win, do not bet on them. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, they're always a surprise.
Yeah. Ronaldo might handball it and score or something again.
If you guys haven't bet yet again. Final is going to score another goal. Front post run. Flick it in.
that'll be hilarious to happen. Well, it would be funny and not funny at the same time. But
yeah,
well deserved from Atalanta. And I think it was probably the most inspiring display out of the Serie A team this week. Obviously, probably the easiest competition and opposition, but still a great display from Atalanta. And they probably could have won by more, but a win's a win, and hopefully they can finish it off. What'd you guys think about it?
Yeah, like you covered it well, Ed. I want to get to this point. Atalanta all game. From set pieces, they were causing Olympiacos trouble. Muriel in the first half, up to the Jim City goal, his corners were incredible. They were perfect. The balls into the boxes, no one could get at the end of it. If they did, they were headed over. But the set pieces were one thing I saw from Atalanta that was causing a lot of problems for Olympiacos. And I said to myself, I go, they're gonna score off of a corner, a free kick. One of these times, and Gym City, Brian Q gets the goal. He got another one too, so which is good for Atalanta, where you anytime a defender can score a brace, that's good, like, for any team. But Atalanta, like you said, deserved it 110% this win. I was kind of surprised the way Olympiacos came out. They came out strong. They found the goal with Suarez curled it in. Perfect goal, beautiful goal from him. And then they just sat back, which against Atalanta, you can't really do that because Atalanta's got the attacking talent and they got the players that can, they'll make you pay. And Olympiacos, guess they, now they learned their lesson that they can't sit back against this a team like Atalanta because they'll find ways to score. And give credit to Atalanta, they didn't give up and they have a 2-1 lead heading into Greece.
Yeah, what did you think about it?
Yeah, very well said, Dan. I think both of you guys summed up this game perfectly. Like I mentioned with the last week game, I was preoccupied with the Canada-England women's match during this time, but this is one of the games that was strange. I was very confident at Atalanta. Out of Lazio, Porto, and Napoli, Barca, this was the game I was most confident for a City A team to dominate and really win. And then when I checked my phone to see, to check up on how the games were going, and I saw that Olympiacos was winning 1-0 in Bergamo, I kind of had my head in my hands saying, Atalanta, what are you doing? Come on. And then I checked the lineups to see, like, who's playing, and I saw Boga was on the bench. So I felt like that was a bold statement by Gasperini, considering how well he played against Juve and how well he just plays in general. I thought this was a game perfectly for him. Eventually, he did come on in the second half, and like Enzo said, he had a really good chance where he almost scored and could have capitalized. But a team like Atalanta, where a player like Gym City is scoring a brace for you, it just is the story for Atalanta. It doesn't matter who you are, anyone can score on this team, and that's Gasperini ball. And I'm glad they didn't give up and they kept having their chances, and eventually they capitalized. Like Enzo said, in Greece, it's going to be a very tough game. So they're really going to need to outscore their opponents in Greece and really hold on to this tie, because I feel like now in Greece, it's going to be a tougher game now, knowing that they're only one goal up on the advantage. Where the other teams I'm more confident in now than Atalanta, so I'm nervous with them, and hopefully they could pull it off, because Atalanta is the team I'm most confident for to get the European glory in Europa League.
Yeah, I think we all agree with that. Atalanta put on a great display, and yeah, we're proud of them. Hopefully they can finish it off, because I'm not going to count my chickens before the hatch with that team. And yeah, to end off the pod, we don't want to make it too long, because like I said, I want you guys to be able to listen to this before all the games go down this weekend. The top four race has gone, not even top four race, let's talk about the Scudetto race. Scudetto race has been very close now. Every team's within touching distance, within, you know, the top three, and we're just still going to believe Juve can do it, which, you know, I respect them back in this team. But it'll be very tough for Juve, of course. Right now, Milan sits at the top, although Inter do have a game in hand. Napoli has 53 points, right behind Milan of 2 points, and behind Inter by one. And Juventus in four for 46, which they're out of the race, let's be honest. But I know Frances not going to agree with that. But have you guys, like, changed your thoughts on who you favor to win the Scudetto, or you still believe Inter? I know Frances is going to say Juve.
Yeah.
But Dan, have you changed to favor any other team, maybe Milan or Napoli, or do you still think Inter are the favorites at the moment?
Okay, so for me, if Napoli were the one last week against Inter, and I think I would have said, yeah, I think Napoli would be the team to beat. I feel like just the confidence of beating Inter, being up at the top, I feel like we could have potentially maintained it for the longest time. But I would say Inter, because they went down early against Napoli, and they found a way to battle back and pick up a key point that they needed to maintain it, especially now with the game in hand. So I think Inter, for me, would be my favorites to win the Scudetto. I know it's a close race, and I believe this race is going to continue to be close until the end of the year. I just don't think Inter will run away with it, but I feel like they'll find a way to overcome the obstacles, overcome the other teams, and be champions at the end of the year. Maybe, yeah, I would say the top three race is going to be a fun race to watch for throughout the whole year, even just the top four. Just from now till the end of the season, it's going to be very tough. But for me, I think Inter will remain the Scudetto favorites to win it.
Chad, how are you feeling? I know we're all excited to hear what you think.
Obviously, at the beginning of the season, I backed Juventus to win the Scudetto. I still backed him. I feel like now, with the January Mercato we had, I was in shock, like many Juventus fans were, about that Mercato, bringing in Zaccaria and Vlahovic, two players that could really help this team, not only in Serie A, but in Europe. And I'm excited to see what both those players can produce on the big stages, under the big lights in Europe. But for Serie A, like, we've seen what they could do. We've seen their impact. And, you know, they're still, they don't have the best chemistry with the team. We kind of just threw them into the deep end the second they arrived in Torino. So when they finally settle in, it's going to be very scary to see how well the team gels with those players. But to talk, and I know you guys want to say, like, oh, like, Juve's out of the race. But Juve's also on an 11-game unbeaten streak. Some of those games aren't the best results. I mean, the 1-1 of Venezia, the 1-1 against Atalanta, which obviously the late winner from Danilo was nice to salvage a point, but would have been very key to take that victory. Same with the Milan game and the Napoli game. If we would have just took all 3 points, it would have been in a much better situation. But to say that we're on an 11-game unbeaten streak and we're still going on, obviously the Derby delle Mole later on today at the time of recording is going to be a very crucial game for us. It's a must-win, just like many of these games. And just looking at the schedule, we don't have a lot of hard teams to play other than Inter on April 3rd. Other than that, like, for the most part, we have a very favorable schedule. So there's no reason why we can't capitalize and still continue this run in form. And then you have Inter, which, like I said earlier, I personally think they're out of Champions League, which is a shame because they can now really focus on the Serie A, but they still have been lacking performances in Serie A. The past couple of games weren't the best games for them, and they've been dropping points, which is great for us and great for all the other teams. Same with Milan and Napoli. I feel like Napoli, they're in their run of form with every year it happens. They kind of lose one game or tie one game, have one bad result, and it kind of just pivots down a bad rabbit hole for Napoli. But this game against Barca, I'm pretty sure it's going to give them a huge confidence boost, and they'll be back on their high horse. But eventually they won't get the results needed to top the Scudetto. I feel like from a mathematical standpoint, Inter is the favorites, but I think they're going to be choking and slipping in. Juventus is going to claw their way back up.
Yeah, I think my prediction, honestly, I think Juve is going to make it close at the end, but they're going to regret the start they got off to this year, maybe by a 4 or 5 point gap at the end. But yeah, I still have to favor Inter. They have the easiest schedule remaining. Their only tough match are really Juve, and I'm just looking here right now, and Fiorentina. Juve still have to play Fiorentina, still have to play Inter, still got to play Sassuolo. Not easy games by any means. I think Juve's problem will be not winning games. I think it's going to be, they're going to have to depend on Inter to drop points, which you never want to be in that situation. But Milan, I think Milan have a chance to do it. You know, anything could really happen. I just think now, Inter, out of all the teams at the top right now, they have the easiest schedule remaining between Milan and Napoli.
I wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't say the easiest schedule? Who is easier?
I'm looking at their schedule right now. They still have to play Roma, Verona, which is never an easy game.
I wouldn't say Roma's a hard game.
they have to play
3 points. So,
Sassuolo is their next game.
Yeah, but you would have Lazio, Fiorentina, and Sassuolo still, and then Inter. So I'd say Inter still have an easier schedule than Juve. Milan, they have, well, I think one thing that helps Inter a lot, actually, is Milan and Napoli still have to play each other.
Yeah.
I think Napoli or Milan could kick each other out of the race with that game. Not completely, but I think it's going to be a very big match for both of them. Obviously, Inter will want to draw on that one between those two. And Juve as well. Okay. If you still consider them in the race. But, yeah, I think the game in hand is huge for Inter. They have to win that one, which I think they will. But you never know. Anything can happen. I just think Juve, it's going to be tough for them because they have to depend on teams to drop points as well as win all their games. And maybe can drop one game at best, but it's going to be tough. Napoli, I still think they're very in the race, very much in the race. The game against Milan will be huge for both Milan and Napoli. And yeah, I think Inter's going to hope for a draw on that one. But I think you still have to go for Inter. You know, they have the easiest schedule remaining. They have the most depth in the team. It looks like they're going to be out of Champions League, which will help their Scudetto race, although I'm sure they want to win the Champions League as well. And anything could happen, but if I had to place a favorite, I still got to go for Inter. I can't really change that yet. And yeah, I think that's what we love about the Serie A. Anything can happen. It's very close this year, which is very fun. Sometimes it is, you know, a race between two teams, but it seems to be a race between three, and if you're Francia, four. And the top four race, you're going to look at that. I think it's between Juve and Atalanta. It's not even like Lazio and Roma. I can't see them catching up. Although mathematically, they're still in it. I don't think that's going to happen. So yeah, interesting year. It's been fun. A lot of smaller teams are, you know, playing better than expected, and some bigger teams are doing worse than expected. It feels like Fiorentina is starting to drop off a little bit now, which, you know, it's going to happen. They don't have the strongest team, and Vlahovic left, of course, mid-season, so it's kind of hard to, you know, get Cabral in and, you know, produce the same that Vlahovic was, who's been here for, I think, 3 years now. So, yeah, it's been great to watch. Compared to the other leagues, I feel like a lot of other leagues are running away with the title, while Serie A is still very close, so it's good to see that a lot of the other Serie A teams are catching up quality-wise, and it could be anyone's Scudetto this year, but yeah, it's tough to go with Inter. Anything else you guys want to add before we wrap it up?
I'm good.
Just confident the boys for the Derby del Mole later on.
In, I think, 2 hours from now, so that should be good. Hopefully you guys enjoyed listening to the pod. We'll be back next week, of course, to recap all the action. If you want to check us out on social media, it's @SixSideCulture on both Instagram and Twitter. Hope you guys enjoyed it. See you next week. Ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao, guys.